Thank you for joining me this evening, this morning, wherever you may be around the world. I appreciate you spending a little time. I'll be back again tomorrow hosting Coast to Coast AM, and my guest is Bill Burns. We'll be talking about the 70th anniversary of Roswell, the day after Roswell, and we'll be talking with Bill about Edison versus Tesla in the race to communicate with the dead. You'll want to be here for that tomorrow on the show. I'm looking forward to that. I am also the host of Beyond the Darkness, which is a paranormal radio show that you can hear 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And you can go directly to our website at darknessradio.com, and you can subscribe right there. You'll see the links and all the information on our site. So please go check it out. If you like the strange and the supernatural, then we've got exactly what you're looking for. So go check out darknessradio.com. And I invite you to join me this August. We're going to be going out to England. We're doing a haunted tour along with Neil Story, the historian. You've heard him as a guest here on Coast to Coast AM. We'll follow in the tracks of Jack the Ripper. We'll also be going out to Nottingham and Sherwood Forest. We'll be following in the steps of Bram Stoker's Dracula. And we'll get a chance to investigate a haunted castle and a haunted jail when we visit with Richard Felix from Most Haunted at the Derby Jail that he owns and operates. So a lot of great information. You can find all of that at my website, darknessradio.com. Just click on the events tab and you'll find ways to communicate with me and be a part of our events. Speaking of the paranormal, this last few days I was at home preparing for our week this coming up and recording some of the episodes. And while I was recording at my home studio with Robert Major from ghostremover.com, and we were talking about his work in helping to release people and locations from spirit activity, I have had an ongoing issue at my house where I have had a child-like spirit that lurks about. And when my children leave for the summer, I can hear footsteps running around upstairs. I've been sitting on the couch with friends watching a movie, and they've watched something come darting down the stairs and into the dining room area in front of all of us. So it's not just my own imagined experience, because I'm prone to the paranormal. It's been a shared experience on numerous occasions. And the other day, it's been relatively quiet with this spirit, but I was doing the interview, talking to Robert, and as I did that, I look up and I see this child's head poke around the corner and look at me from the stairway that leads up to my children's room. And I was kind of taken back. I had never seen it this corporeal before, and it kept ducking and tucking its head around the corner as it was watching me as I was talking about removing spirits, and a very strange interaction. This started a few years back when I received a doll as a gift from the people that own the South Pittsburgh Hospital. They know that I was interested in creepy dolls and some of the haunted, you know, lore of possessed possessions. And they had gifted it to me. I've had it in a closet in my room for quite a while, and things have moved around. I've had heavy wooden objects thrown from one side of the closet to the other. I've had people that have stayed the night, including my own mother and father, witness something moving around in my closet. So it's really intriguing. Again, now some of it's, you know, is this our imagination? Did something just fall off the shelf? You know, I'm always trying to find an explanation that makes sense, even though I believe in the paranormal and I have a healthy belief that there is definitely something strange going on around us. I question these experiences and what it is that we're dealing with. Although one of the most captivating moments I've ever seen, my cat had not gone into the closet, and he would stand outside and look into the closet. And one day he trekked into the closet and within a few moments came flying out of my closet backwards, as though somebody had grabbed him underneath his front paws, underneath his arms, and thrown him backwards out of the closet into my room. The cat took a long time before it ever went near my closet again. So I obviously have something active going on in my home, but it doesn't show any kind of aggression except for to my one cat, who I guess they just are not fond with, but it has had no interest in messing with my children. It doesn't do anything to me. It's just a fascinating aspect of why are some of us haunted? Why are some of these locations haunted? This home was only built 12, 12, 15 years ago, and there was no death associated in this home. Where are we getting these experiences? Are we actually being haunted from the future? Are we having experiences with energies that will be in that location at some point? I am curious about hauntings. And if you have your own haunting experience or your theories on how some of these hauntings take place, I'd love to hear from you. But the phones are wide open. We'll take calls and discuss any topic you're interested in this evening. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got Adam from Salt Lake City next when we return to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host this evening, sitting in for George Norrie. I'm Dave Schrader. We're going to open up phone lines. Let's go wild card line four, George in San Antonio, Texas. Welcome to the show.
Can you still hear me?
I can.
Excellent. Use my hands free.
Okay.
I hope it works. I got in on your program when you had your previous guest.
Okay.
And was he talking about the Jordan codexes?
Yes.
Okay, well, I have to look that up. Anyhow, I wanted to tell that I've had some very blessed experiences, and I met a great channel named Kathy Acker, and she would bring in the masters, and we first started with Mother Mary. And then she had an experience of channeling most all her life, but she couldn't control what came in, and some of the stuff scared her, and she just shut it down. And then later on, Mary came in very gently and asked her if she could spend some time. She said yes, cautiously, and then she then said, can I bring in my son? And I met Kathy Good, another friend, and I said, well, Kathy, you need to start having classes. So here we go with the classes. So we had a prayer and meditation class, and Mary would come in and teach us quite a bit, and then Magdalene would come in. And Magdalene would say, I was not a whore, I was an archetype of a whore. I tend to think that Peter and Paul were probably a little chauvinist and jealous of her, but she was, in all essence, the 13th apostle. And Jesus did marry her, and they did have children. But what I come to learn was there were people who understood the Christos before Jesus was born or came to the planet to do what he did. And there were Christian crosses, or a even cross covered over Egyptian hieroglyphs. So there were Christians, or people who understood the Christos before the birth of Christ. And as we knew it, we began to be taught by Archangel Michael, Lady Isis. Jesus had a teaching us a threefold flame, of which he said the Tibetan monks are the best that knew how to control the threefold flame. And when we finished our class, he said, I'm going to tell you, become dressed comfortably. We're going to talk about lives past and future. And he went around the room and told everybody a little bit about their past lives. And then he told me that, of course, let me just first preface that Kathy was the outer circle of Christ. She was living in that time and followed Christ, and she was in the outer circle of followers. So he looked at me and said, George, you were there too. I went, yes. He said, you were a Roman soldier. I was thinking, God, I hope I wasn't the guy handing the man with the hammer for the nails. And he said that you and a few of your other soldiers would leave the barracks and come out and listen to me. But Jesus did say, I wish people would not call me God, because I am not God. And of course, he had to be the Son of God to just do his teaching, get people of that time and that intellect to understand what he was talking about. But the thing is, there are Christians. There were Christos. People understand the Christos before the birth of Christ. And the way I got into all this was very interesting. When I was about 22 at the University of Texas, having a studying film and radio, I was very stressed. It's a very expensive major. So I started doing yoga, and then I thought, well, gee, I'll just teach myself how to meditate. And I would train myself to sit in a chair and think of nothing for an hour. And that took a little bit of discipline, a little bit of time. So I told myself, if there really is a God, because, you know, we're all these pseudo intellectuals in college. I'm an apostate, I'm an agnostic, I'm a Christian, it's just all BS. I said, if there's a God, and I said it with such sincerity, I want to know him. I want to see him face to face. Then 6 months later, I was in Dallas. I rented a neoclassical house, and I was on the porch with my dog, and I started to shift. It began to frighten me. And then a voice came to me and said, George, just relax and understand everything. Just relax and understand everything. And as I was moving, transitioning, the personality of George and my short-term, long-term history faded, and I was just my spirit self. And then eventually I ended up into a very stark white room. And two masters came up to me and said, George, do not be afraid. You're very protected and very loved here. And I mean, I felt very loved. And they said, do you have any questions? Well, yeah, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, what just happened? And we went back and forth for a good 2.5 hours. And then they asked me, they said, is that all? And I said, yes. They said, well, then can we teach you universal law? So that opened up a whole bunch of questions. What is universal law? So I come to know that the Ten Commandments, actually there was 15, but Moses didn't think that rabble that was following him around for 40 years was ready for the other five. And it was to take care of the...
Right, and you got this information from these channeling sessions that there were 15?
15 commandments.
Right, and where did you get that information?
I think I was... Who was I talking to? Oh, I was talking to the masters that met me on the... What I found out later is I was taken to this dimension.
Mm-hmm. Did they tell you what the other commandments were?
No.
I would think that there would be a big punishment involved if God gave Moses 15 commandments and Moses only relayed 10 of them onto the people.
Well, that is between them and God. I don't know.
But, right.
So they taught me the universal law, and you can get books on the universal laws.
Mm-hmm.
Universal laws are the laws of the whole cosmos, the whole universe. Of everything, even a solute being mixed into a solution in a chemistry lab is always going to be the same law that makes that thing react. And this is the law that we all...
Oh, we seem to have lost you. Sorry about that, George. Let's go to Wildcard Line 3, Adam in Salt Lake City.
Hey.
That's
kind of too bad that I missed out on meeting Uncle George. I'm calling in to review, let's start from the top. What we've learned from the eclipse is that it pulls on the crust of the Earth, and it creates earthquakes, an eclipse, either lunar or solar. We have one approaching in August, it's just the 27th, and it'll be over the top of Yellowstone. What do you think are or could be the repercussions of the eclipse pulling on the crust of the Earth that close to the Old Faithful?
That's scary, right? They've been talking about the possibilities of that teetering and blowing at any time, Yellowstone, and that's going to have a huge kill zone if that ever occurs. I don't know. I hope it's nothing. Of course,
so too,
no, yeah, we don't want to see that, but yeah.
Utah hasn't had an earthquake, and we're due for one. We're about 50 years overdue. Mm-hmm. So we're like 50 years overdue for an earthquake. So I'm thinking something is going to happen soon, and I have a feeling, just, I don't know, maybe a prediction? I don't know, call it, you know, intuition or something. I just have a feeling something's happening in August that's really, really big.
So you think Adam from Salt Lake City believes that this August, 2017,
yeah,
around the 27th, something big is going to come.
Out of my
right.
Mind, yeah.
No.
But it's just something, a feeling, something's big.
Well, hopefully you're wrong on this. Yeah, hopefully you're wrong. We'll keep that on record, though.
Yeah, hey, I'll see you around.
All right, thank you, Adam, and God, I hope you're wrong. I seriously hope you're wrong. Let's go east of the Rockies. John in Ohio, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing good, John. I hope you have a cheerier subject to bring up than possible end of Earth stuff. What's going on?
Well, I guess I was trying to figure out how to ask you this. Have you ever seen a pictorial illustration of the fall in the Garden of Eden?
Well, I've seen different. Yeah, I've seen some different variations of that, tapestries and some artwork.
Yeah, you know where you have the stud looking dude and the salon babe, and they're holding an apple, and of course
right.
there's a snake in the background, and you know, in listening to Coast to Coast over the years, you know, talking about the Nephilim, the giants, you know, are we really to believe that it was an apple? You know, I like apples. I like apples on pork chops, and you know, pretty tasty. But you know, these illustrations really—they. What do you think the fall in the garden was all about? Because I believe I have a theory.
Well, let's hear your theory. We've got a few minutes left here before we have to go to break. Let me hear what you wanted to say.
Sure. We'll put this in as tasteful of tones as we can, but. I believe that with Eve, that Adam was supposed to have taken Eve's virginity first, and as it turned out, you know, keeping in mind the Nephilim, the fallen angels, and the daughters of men, that it was Satan that took her virginity, and that's where the fall come in.
Oh, so you think that the forbidden knowledge that she took a bite of was more of a parable in a sense, and was
it was her
more
was
about
her
the sexuality of it.
It was her first sexual encounter with not Adam, but with the serpent, the Satan, Lucifer.
That's fascinating aspect of it. It might understand why then there was the shame of nakedness after this,
yep.
right? After they did this, there was this awkwardness and shame could make very good sense.
Yeah, it's not hard to convince someone that they're a dirty, filthy, rotten, no good sinner. The rub comes in as to why we're dirty, filthy, rotten, no good sinners. And
that's a lot easier to understand than anything. Yeah, I'm fascinated, and it is. Maybe this is the way. And thank you for calling in. Maybe that's just the way that they were able to politely share that information. It's certainly something I hadn't thought of before, but thank you for calling in. Hey, check out Coast to Coast AM and look at some of the news stories that we've been posting. Did a psychic actually foresee Alan Thicke's death? There's an interesting article up there. There's also a video about an odd sea creature that's been spotted in China. The strange piece of footage from China appears to show some kind of large creature emerging from the water of a reservoir, to the astonishment of all of these onlookers. And there's also four new crop formations that have been found in England. So after nearly 2 weeks of inactivity, the UK crop circle scene exploded this past week with a whopping four new formations that have been found. You can find information about that all by visiting coasttocoastam.com. And while you're there, become a Coast Insider. Never miss another minute of the best in overnight talk radio. For an entire year subscription, it breaks down to just 15 cents a day. Go ahead and sign up now, and you'll know why we are the best in overnight talk radio. I'm Dave Schrader, filling in for George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Hey, that's me. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of the world today. We're taking your calls for the remainder of the show, so please feel free to give me a buzz. Talk about whatever topics you'd like. It looks like we've got a lot of great stuff coming. After-death experiences, some predictions, lost time, haunted experiences. Speaking of cool experiences, are you familiar with the fact that George has a TV show? George Norrie has Beyond Belief, and you could check that out. There's 7 seasons, 263 episodes. The latest episode is the Mojave abduction incident with Ron Felber. You can check that out. They also have a free episode up right now, so you can check it out for yourself. Get a little taste of it. The Truth on UFO Cases with Nick Pope. Go check it out at beyondbelief.com. That's beyondbelief.com. And if you like what you hear on Coast to Coast, you're going to absolutely love what you see on Beyond Belief. Got a lot of calls ringing in. I want to make a quick mention. It's Joyce Keller's birthday. She's one of our listeners and one of our favorite guests here on Coast to Coast AM. So a very, very happy holiday birthday to you, Joyce Keller. And for those of you that missed the announcement at the beginning of the show, we started on a bit of a somber note tonight as we note the passing of Coast to Coast guest and frequent guest R. Gary Patterson. The rock and roll Fox Mulder has passed away. All we know is that it was sudden, and that is all the information that we have. His brother-in-law has passed on to us R. Gary Patterson passed on earlier today. So we'll continue taking your phone calls, and if you'd like to email in questions or stories you'd like to share, you can do that, dave@darknessradio.com. That's dave@darknessradio.com. And during the break, I actually got an email from one of our listeners who heard me mention paranormaldate.com earlier in the show. They're actually a member. They said it's been very cool, very successful. And although they haven't met the love of their life yet, they've met some fascinating new friends. So if you're looking to expand your horizons, you want to get out and meet new people and start to experience life to the fullest, whether you make your new best friend or the love of your life, check out paranormaldate.com. They're listeners just like you, fascinated by all the topics we discuss here on Coast to Coast AM. ParanormalDate.com, over 50,000 members. You have a lot of chances of meeting your next love and perhaps the love of your life. Check it out at ParanormalDate.com. We'll be back with more. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, and we'll continue now with your phone calls. Let's go to, we've got somebody following back up on that eclipse that was mentioned earlier. Let's go to wild card line four, Bill in Connecticut. You want to shed some light on the eclipse for us?
I do, and good evening to you, and you've had a great show, and I'm really enjoying it, but I wanted to give credit where credit is due, and there's a large infograph on the internet that some people on a message board, I don't know if I could say the message board name or not, but I want to give the credit where credit's due. They did a lot of research into this, and they found it involves St. Louis, it involves a building in St. Louis, it involves a fountain, it involves Ohio, it involves a possible false, I'm not going to finish that term, and it's just really interesting. It's all around, I think, the 23rd of August or whenever that thing is. And there's little things coming out in media now that seem to kind of hint that something might happen. So if people really want to know, they should go on the internet and look it up, because there's just too many things. Like, the building in St. Louis was built like in 1901 or whatever, and it's got all these real cryptic symbols on it, like this woman with a lion and these, like, you know, just these mythical archetypal creatures and stuff, and the building's going to be like directly under the eclipse when it happens. I mean, there's just too many weird things. There's a band called the Happenings, I think is the name of the band, and they have this song called See You in September. There's just these weird things, and you could say it's all just coincidental, but there's just so many of them, at some point you got to go, okay, this is just strange. But I also want to say that Yeshua is the way, the truth, and the life. So, you know, I give people spiritual help too, you know, if they need it. But I just wanted to give credit where credit was due to the people that actually, I did not find any of this. The people on the internet found it, and they think it's going to lead to some shenanigans.
All right. Well, thank you very much for giving us a call. Let's go to wildcard line two, Laura in Phoenix. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Hi, Laura. I'm doing well. What did you want to share with us this evening?
Okay, my aunt, she passed away in 2008. I'm going to try to make this brief as possible, kind of long, but she passed away in 2008. She was a State Farm agent for 38 years, and my mom and I were both needing to get car insurance and homeowner's insurance because a certain insurance company was not paying my mom's neighbor over a fire and rebuilding her house. So my mom's out of town. I was in the shower just last week. I was in the shower. Nobody was there at the house. And I got out of the shower. I was checking my mom's phone calls. And you know how the incoming lines, how caller ID logs the incoming calls?
Right.
Well, it said outbound call. And I was like, outbound call? And it was like 10 minutes before while I was in the shower. I was like, that's really weird. So I *67 and called the number. And the guy was like, oh, hi, Karen. And I was like, How do you know who this is? Because I blocked the number. He said, well, it came up on the computer, but it was blocked on my phone. And I said, well, who is this? And he was like, it's Farmers Insurance. And I'm like, so then I checked the caller, like our redial list, and that phone number was not on there. So there's like no way, I mean, how would it show up as an outbound call? I mean, I'm always getting little messages from my aunt and my dead relatives. I had a lot of relatives die in a short period of time. And I mean, it's just like a total message. When you were talking about the kid in the closet at your house, it just reminded me of that.
Yeah, that's bizarre. What do you are you open to the paranormal? I mean, do you have things that have happened to you throughout your life?
Oh yeah, I mean, I have like a photo. In fact, I should send it to you. I have a photo radar picture that I inherited my car from my dad. Well, not the car that I'm driving now, but in the past, I inherited this car from my dad. 8 months after I inherited it, I got a photo radar ticket getting on the freeway, and my dad was dead for 8 months, and he's in the back seat. You can see him plain as day. And there's like this light. Wow. He's like, you're about to get a photo radar ticket. I mean, it totally is my dad. I mean, it's a profile shot of my dad.
I'd love to see it. Yeah, you can email that to me at dave@darknessradio.com and just put that little story in there. I'd love to see it and maybe even share it with the Coast listeners.
Okay, yeah, it's definitely a trip. Yeah, I always have weird things happening to me. They're all waiting for us. This is the hell plane right here, I think.
Is it?
There's a party going on later in the other side that all the stuff that happens here can't be happening over there is what I think.
Well, thank you for calling in. Let's go to Wildcard Line 1, Sid in Abilene, Texas. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Dave.
Hi, Sid.
I lived in a haunted house when I lived in Seguin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And when we first moved into the house, me and my wife went into the kitchen. And she was cooking supper, and we noticed this dark cloud, dark cloud moving along the edge of the ceiling. And it was moving along the groove between the floor and the ceiling, the groove.
Right.
It started from the right, because it started from the right side of the house. It moved all the way around to the left side, and then came back down, and then it went down the pipe in the stove.
And was there any sound at all?
No, it was completely quiet.
And ever seen any kind of weird phenomena in your home prior to that?
Yes, prior to that we did. We heard voices. We'd hear a voice of a little baby crying in our bathroom, and there wasn't nothing in there. And we'd be asleep at night, and every night around 12 o'clock, a red light would come on in our kitchen. And the floors were painted green, and the walls were painted green. But when that red light was in there, you could look through the look through the door facing, and you could see, it looked like blood. It looked like blood was coming down the walls, and blood was all over the floor. It used to be an old plantation house.
And was there death associated with it? Have you done any research?
I didn't even do no research on it. That's what I should have done, but I didn't. And I had a friend that was going to work on the porch, and he went underneath the house, and me and my wife were standing out there by one of the trees, and all of a sudden he come rolling out from underneath there like something rolled him out from underneath there. He just grabbed up his tools, put them in his truck, got in the truck, and drove off. Didn't say nothing. And I spoke to him when he was leaving, and he never would answer me. He just kept on going. So I don't know what he saw.
And, that's very strange.
We had times when we heard of footsteps, and I did have a heart attack because of this. I heard footsteps coming in the house, and I thought it was my son coming in. And little footsteps, he was about 7 or 8. And you hear the little footsteps coming up to my door, and I heard it go up to the door, and I didn't see nobody. And then they came up to my bed where I was sitting on the edge of it, and he sat down right beside me. You could see the bats are sinking down a little.
Mm.
We were sitting, and it caused me to have a heart attack. And I called my wife up, and I said, "Honey, I think I had a heart attack." And she came and picked me up, took me to New Braunfels, see my doctor. And he said, "Well, Sid, you want to see an ambulance? You want to call an ambulance, or you don't care? I'll take you to the hospital." I said, "Why? What's wrong?" He said, "You just had a heart attack."
Wow. That's impactful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, thank you for calling in, Sid. Thank you for listening to the show. Let's go to first-time caller line. We have St. Bullion in Michigan.
Hello there, Dave.
How are you tonight?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing well, but I'll get better. What did you want to chat about?
Well, first of all, I was wondering, what's happening with True Crime Tuesday?
Well, we've taken our show True Crime Tuesday. It still exists, but we've put it over on the Patreon site, okay. Or we've made it available.
So you guys are still doing that then?
Yes, yeah. If you go to darknessradio.com and click on the True Crime Tuesday banner, it'll show you how you can subscribe and sign up for it. We've taken it over to the Patreon site as a new program to try there. Right, yeah.
I'll check that out, man. That's one of my favorite broadcasts.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, we're going to be doing in a few weeks when I'm back in mid-June, the 16th and 17th. On the 17th, I'll have a full night of true crime. We have two different cases we're going to be covering that night. That's really fascinating.
I hope to God there will be some Florida man stories.
Well, I don't know if we'll have time for dumb crimes and stupid criminals, but maybe I can sneak one or two in before the show's over.
There you go. There you go.
Well, thanks.
On to business, then. On to
sure,
business,
yes.
Then. Well, I heard a caller earlier when you had a guest. It was before the open lines.
Mm-hmm.
She was wondering about, you know, she asked, I think, something if there was any specific religion, particularly the big three, Christianity, mm-hmm. Judaism, and Islam. She wondered if there was any reference to your earlier guest's material related
right,
to
on,
that.
Right, on which one may be the quote-unquote real religion?
Right, right.
Right, or the one true religion, right?
Well, I was just, I was hoping to add to that. You know, there were a couple things I had on that note. And
okay.
First and foremost, there is no one and true real religion. I mean, you know, if you study them, as history goes, it's pretty much all the same story with different characters. And that sort of leads me to believe that, you know, maybe they're getting to the gist of something, but not, you know, not specific to themselves. And beyond that, you know, I guess basically if you want to know if you're following a true religion,
mm-hmm.
you just have to ask yourself, like, when you're going out and about, are you smiling when you go to the grocery store, when you go to the bank, or, you know, to work even, to anything? Are you just smiling when you see people around? Are you looking at them and smiling at them? Because if you are, you're doing things right. And beyond that, I don't really think that there's that's kind of the ultimate test.
So you think it's that simple? Just simply by putting on a smile and
yeah,
appearing
absolutely.
Kind to others.
In fact,
that's
I heard,
the beginning.
I think sure. A few weeks ago on a Coast to Coast broadcast about. A specific study that related to that they were postulating that emotional responses are not actually responses, but your physiological, you know, the smile and so on and so forth, they actually elicit an emotional response as opposed to being a response to the emotion itself. And they have studies that have supported this. And I would love to be able to cite them for you, but I'm not good with, like, names and dates and numbers and so on and so forth. But it's out there. If you Google it, it's there.
Well, I believe being kind and just starting off that way by giving the love and attention to strangers, I think that's a great way to, you know, begin any kind of religion and any kind of kindness and making
well,
that a part of our
world.
Not
only that, but I think it's indicative, too, because... You know, not this study sort of postulates that's you know a one way street, and I'd like to take it a little further and say it's a two way street because not only do these you know, physiological gestures, the smiling, frowning, whatever, in its respective, you know, capacity. This goes on not only to elicit responses of people around you, but I think it serves to maybe not elicit your own response, but deepen it, for lack of a better term, you know, like,
sure.
If you're frowning and you see people frowning, that brings it on even further, man.
I'm all for it. Send out the good vibes. Thanks a lot for listening and giving us a call. Here's an interesting, weird news story that came out back in April that was brought to my attention recently. An eighth grader told a 911 dispatcher that a man haunting inside him killed his dad's girlfriend. And a 14-year-old Ohio boy accused of killing his dad's girlfriend said that a man inside him had snapped before he attacked the woman he affectionately referred to as mom, according to reports. Officials with the Champaign County Sheriff's Office responded to a Mad River Township home, and Donovan Nicholas allegedly called 911 to say a 40-year-old Heidi Faye Taylor was dead. Taylor, with whom Nichols lived and described as his mom, had been stabbed and shot by the person that lived inside him. The eighth grader, the boy said in a 911 call obtained by the Springfield News Sun, "It wasn't me who did it. It wasn't me who killed her. It was Jeff," Nicholas can be heard saying. "He sometimes takes control, and I have no control. I have no control over him. It's not fair." When asked why he or Jeff hurt Taylor, Nicholas said Jeff was tired of her. She said, "She always did drugs, and she totally ignored me. Like, once she hit me, and she was done," the teen reportedly said. Nicholas went on to tell the dispatcher he was scared and blamed Jeff for the gruesome killing. I didn't want to kill her. I hate Jeff so much. He's going to make me die in prison," he continued. Nicholas said he was also in a lot of pain, as he had been stabbed by Jeff in the leg. "It hurts really bad," he told the dispatcher. The call came to an end as a deputy ordered Nicholas to put his hands behind his back. Taylor was remembered for her love of gardening, crafts, cooking, and hosting family and friends, her obituary said. "She was a kind, compassionate, and giving person. Most of all, she loved spending time with her kids and grandkids," the obituary continued. And she had two children with Nicholas's father, authorities said. Her obituary noted that she is survived by both of them, as well as Nicholas, who is referred to as one of her children. What a strange and fascinating story. I'm sure it'll probably turn out to be a multiple personality disorder, but terrifying nonetheless that he believed that a spirit named Jeff that resided within him led him to take a life. We'll come back. We'll take more of your calls here on the best in overnight talk radio. For George Norrie, I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM.